In planning your crime, my friend, you thought you had an airtight story to go with it. But you overlooked one little detail that makes it nothing but a tissue of lies and pins the crime of deliberate murder directly on you.
Good evening. I'm Bob Maxwell. With a mushrooming crime wave that is sweeping the country, we have invited Dr. Colin Doyle, the renowned specialist in forensic medicine, to bring us each week a case selected from his personal files on the parole board. Tonight's story, The Case of the Bad Actor, number 187 in the files of Colin Doyle, crime doctor.
Hello?
Alan, this is me. I'm leaving work now. What do you say we grab a bite to eat and take in a movie?
What? Nothing doing, Walter. The only thing we're grabbing tonight is my play manuscript. What do you think I've been waiting here for?
Oh, Helen, we're not going to rehearse again tonight.
Oh, you promised you'd help me with my part. It's important to me, and you know it, so don't try and talk me out of it.
Honest, I don't know why you want to fool around with a bunch of amateurs anyhow.
The little theater group is not amateur.
Yeah, I know, but...
Oh, come on, no buts. This is my big opportunity, Walter, and nothing is going to stand in my way. Is that clear? Nothing.
Alan, for the love of Mike, you'd think you'd have enough to do around the house without getting mixed up in the theater.
Oh, now, Walter, don't be like that. You know how much this means to me.
Well, all right. I guess I won't get any peace around here unless I go through with it. What part do you want to rehearse?
This last scene in the first act, where the husband has the falling out with his wife.
Not that same scene again.
Oh, I can't seem to get it right.
Yeah, but it's so noisy. Last time you rehearsed it, I thought the walls had caved in and the neighbors was banging so hard.
Never mind the neighbors. Oh, wait, here's the place, right here.
Okay.
It's where the wife has just come home at 3 a.m. Now, are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Ah, there you are. Some hour, I must say.
So, you waited up for me, did you?
Yes, I waited up. Do you know what time it is?
It's the time I decided to come home.
It is, eh? Why, you little tramp, I'm getting fed up with this.
Now, isn't that just too bad?
You're damn right it is. I won't have you going on like this. Where you been?
Never mind where I've been. Take your dirty hands off of me.
I'll take my hands off nothing. I'd like to wring your crummy neck.
I'd like to see you try it.
I'm warning you. One of these days, I'm going to... There go the neighbors. What did I tell you?
Ah, never mind those crumbs, will you? I was going great. Ah, go take a flying jump. Come on, Walt. I was going great.
Okay. Now, I'm warning you. One of these days, I'm going to put a bullet through that empty head of yours.
One of these days, I'm going to spit right in your eye.
Listen, you little...
Ah, shut up! Shut up!
Okay.
Lousy bums.
No use, Helen. He'll have the cops down on us if we keep this up.
Yeah, I guess so. But I gotta rehearse. I just have to go over to Edna's. She'll still be up. Maybe no one will disturb us there.
Yeah, sure. You go over to Edna's.
I won't be long, Walter.
Take your time, honey. Like you say, you gotta be right in the part. You gotta rehearse.
I'm calling from a payphone.
Where's Walter?
Home watching the TV. I told him I was going to Edna's.
Everything all right?
A-okay. Letter perfect.
Good. Meet me at Bailey's. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
We'll be able to talk okay in this booth. Two beers, waiter. Tall. Everything went letter perfect, huh, Helen?
So far, Phil. Couldn't have gone better.
You rehearsed the play all right?
The exact scene you told me.
Loud and clear?
Shouting all the way.
The neighbors could hear you good, huh?
You should have heard the banging. Say, I couldn't have yelled any louder if we were having a real fight.
Yeah, terrific. You got in that line about him taking his hands off you.
Sure. And the one about him wanting to wring my neck, too.
That's great. Now we'll have all the witnesses we want to back you up.
You know, I wish there was another way out.
What?
Oh, Walt isn't a bad sort. I kind of hate to knock him off.
Hey, are you kidding? After all the plans we made?
I didn't say we wouldn't knock him off. I just said I wish there was another way.
Yeah, well, don't even think like that, huh? With Walter out of the way, all our dreams will come true.
I know, Phil. You and me for always, huh?
That's right, for always. And Walter's money, too.
And you think we only have to wait a couple of more days?
That's all. The second act rehearsal will build up the fight to where we want it. And the third act takes care of the shoot.
Gee, Phil, you should have been an author or something. Them words you wrote, they're beautiful.
Hey, listen, I even got us a clincher.
A clincher?
That's right. Are you heard of...
Hold it.
Two beers?
I seen that movie, too. Al Pacino, he was terrific. Oh, thank you, buddy.
Okay.
You heard of Colin Doyle, didn't you?
Colin Doyle? You mean the crime doctor?
That's the guy.
What about him?
Well, he's the clincher. You're going to him for advice.
I'm what?
Yeah, sure. You go to him, you say, geez, Mr. Crime Doctor, you got to help me. And he says, yeah, lady, what's the matter? And you say...
My husband. I'm afraid he's going to kill me.
You got it, baby.
He says, what makes you think so? And you...
I tell him.
You tell him. It sets it up with the law in advance. We're in a clear. A clincher.
Say, you sure got the brains all right, Phil. I got to hand it to you.
Let's drink to it, huh? To Colin Doyle, the crime doctor. And what he don't know won't hurt him.
We'll be back with Act Two of Colin Doyle, Crime Doctor, in just a few moments. But first... Now back to Colin Doyle, Crime Doctor, and the case of the bad actor.
To Colin Doyle, the crime doctor. And what he don't know won't hurt him.
Dr. Doyle, I heard how you like to help people out and all, and I thought maybe you'd help me.
All I can say to that, Mrs. Norris, is that I'll be very glad to help you if I can. But tell me, what makes you think your husband might want to kill you?
His general attitude. Why, when we was first married, Walter was always so sweet to me. He always brought me flowers and all like that. Now he takes a swing at me every chance he gets.
I see. Tell me, Mrs. Norris, is your husband a drinking man? Now, you understand, I have to ask you these questions in order to...
Oh, sure, sure. Is he a drinking man? I can't never remember when he doesn't have a glass in his hand. I try to get him to lay off the bottle when he comes home, you know, relax, sit in the easy chair, read the paper.
Go on.
Well, I don't like to say, but no sooner does he get in the house when out he goes again to the corner bar. Then he comes home all boozed up and picks a fight with me, who only has his best interests at heart. Why, the other night, it was terrible, Dr. Doyle. The other night, he beat me black and blue. I was so embarrassed for the neighbors.
Now, please compose yourself, Mrs. Norris.
I'm sorry, Doctor. I didn't mean to come here and carry on like this. I'm sorry.
You care for your husband a great deal, don't you?
I worship the ground that man walks on.
Did you tell him that you were coming here to see me?
No, I didn't. I hate to think of what he would do if I did.
Mm-hmm. I see. One thing, Mrs. Norris. Why don't you go to the police?
Dr. Doyle, if there's one thing I like to have little to do with, thanks, it's the cops.
I'm afraid too many people feel that way, and they're wrong.
I still don't want to have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there certainly wasn't any harm in your coming to see me, Mrs. Norris. Although I'll be frank with you, there doesn't seem to be anything I can do at the moment. However, I want you to get in touch with me the very next time your husband acts up. Will you do that?
I sure will, Dr. Doyle.
All right, you go on home now. And if Walter acts up again, I'll do what I can to straighten him out.
Gee, I hope so. I knew I could count on you, Dr. Doyle. Thank you. I can't tell you how relieved you just made me.
Alan, I'm home.
Oh, hello, Walter. You're home early.
Yeah, I wound things up pretty good at the shop.
Well, sit right down, dear. I saved you something warm to eat.
No fooling. I had a sandwich downtown. I don't want you to go to so much trouble.
There's nothing that's too much trouble for you, Walter. Just take me a second.
Do anything special today?
Yeah, just took in a movie with Edna.
Yeah, what'd you see?
Nothing worth talking about. By the way, your insurance premiums are due. I set them out for you to take care of.
Oh, gee, thanks, honey. I don't know what I'd do without you around. Hey, does this smell good? Chicken pie, my favorite.
Eat it while it's hot. I got something for you to do right after.
Yeah? What?
That second act, Walter. I'm still having trouble with it.
Oh?
Yeah. I thought maybe you'd rehearse with me. Just for a little while, you know. You wouldn't mind doing that for me, Walter, now would you? Oh, it's you, Mrs. Norris. I'm sorry to bother you, Mrs. Bennett, but I wonder if you have a little liniment. I accidentally bumped into a door and bruised my arm.
Accidentally bumped into a door, huh?
I understand, my dear. I understand only too well. Come on in. I'll fix your bite up.
Anything else, Mrs. Norris? Some nice fresh peaches, maybe? They're on special.
Nah, I think that'll be all. Thank you, Tony.
Look, Mrs. Norris, it's none of my business, I know, but is everything all right at home? You seem kind of upset lately, and...
Oh, look, please, Tony, if you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it. Well, that's all we wanted to say, Mrs. Norris. All of us neighbors. Now, you may not think so, but we know plenty about what's been going on around here, and all I want to say is... We're behind you, Mrs. Norris. And if there's ever anything we can do, well, we want you to call on us. That's all we wanted to say.
Hello?
Phil, it's me, Helen.
Yeah, Helen.
Everything went perfect, Phil. The crime doctor's all taken care of and the neighbor's eaten out of my hand. So what do you say?
What do I say? I say let's go, Helen. Tonight's the night.
Tonight?
Yeah, what's the matter? You're not nervous, are you? Well, just remember all I told you, and it'll be over before you know it. Did Walter mail in those insurance premium checks?
I don't know. I know he signed them.
Good. All you got to do is rehearse that third act with him. And when you get to the gun scene, that's the curtain. In more ways than one.
Okay, Phil.
You do a good job, huh, Helen? Real good?
I'll do my best.
That's my girl. And don't forget to open the safety catch beforehand.
I won't. Don't worry.
All right, Helen. That's it, then. So long for now.
So long, Phil.
And happy hunting.
Hey, Helen, what's going on around here? Am I poisoned or something?
Hello, Walter. Whatever are you talking about?
The neighbors. We just passed them in the hall. They act like I'm poisoned or something.
Ah, never mind the old neighbors. Put down the bag and give your wife a great big kiss.
Why, sure, honey. Now, wait a minute.
What?
No, you don't. You're not going to start that stuff again on me. No play rehearsing tonight.
Oh, Walter, don't be like that. It's the third act. It's all. You'll be finished after tonight.
Nothing doing.
I promise you, Walter. Tonight's the last time you have to rehearse. Walter.
Well, if you promise, this is the last time.
Cross my heart and hope to die. Walter, you're an angel.
Yeah.
Here's your script, page 116.
Why do I put on my glasses? Uh-oh. Look at this. I forgot to mail out my insurance premium checks.
Oh.
You take care of it for me, will you, dear? Otherwise, I'll walk around with them in my pocket all week. You know me.
Okay, honey. Just leave them on the table there. Page 116.
Yeah, 116.
It's where right. Arthur comes home in a tantrum. He's had all he can take from his cheating wife, and he's going to kill her.
You know, this sure is a creepy play. Here we are. 116.
Okay, your line first.
Uh-huh. Now, look, you... I want to talk to you alone.
Well, we are alone, so spill it.
I told you once, I told you 100 times, I don't want you running around.
And I told you 100 times to mind your own lousy business.
You're my wife, that's my business.
So it's your business, you're stuck with it.
Not anymore, I'm not, I... Oh, they go to neighbors again.
Never mind the neighbors, keep going.
Not anymore, I'm not. I'm putting an end to it tonight.
Don't you come near me. Put that gun down.
I'm going to... Huh? Hey, that's not the next line.
Don't come near me. Don't you touch me.
Wait a minute, Helen. I must have lost the place or something.
Take your hands off me, Walter.
Walter, this guy's name is Arthur.
Take your hands off me. You're choking me.
Choking? What are you talking about? I'm not laying a hand on you.
Stop. Don't. Put down that poker.
Helen, stop that, will you? What are you doing with that gun?
Help. Somebody help.
Helen, put down that gun. Helen, no.
Help.
We'll be back with Act 3 of Colin Doyle, Crime Doctor, in just a few moments. Meantime, this message. Now, back to Act 3 of Colin Doyle, Crime Doctor, and the case of the bad actor.
Colin Doyle speaking.
Dr. Doyle, this is Officer Burke at the 21st Precinct.
Oh, yes, Burke. What can I do for you?
I'm calling for Lieutenant Kane, Doctor. We're here at 101 Beckman Street. There's just been a homicide.
A homicide? Where's Inspector Phillips?
He was called to Washington to testify in some investigation, sir. Lieutenant Kane thought you might help us out.
Oh, well, of course. What's the address again?
101 Beckman. Mr. Walter Norris.
Walter Norris? Burke, tell the lieutenant that I'm on my way.
Oh, glad you could make it, Doctor.
Got here fast as I could, Burke.
Yes, sir. Lieutenant, the crime doctor's here.
Good, be right with him.
How did he kill her, Burke?
He? Come right in, Dr. Doyle. He didn't kill anybody, sir. It was Mrs. Norris shot him.
What?
Yeah, well, that's right, sir.
Hello there, Dr. Doyle. Good of you to come. Burke, take over from me inside, will you, please?
Yeah, right, Lieutenant.
Real good of you, Doctor. The inspector's in Washington testifying in that Thatcher case, and I'm in something of a bind.
So, Officer Burke was telling me. He also said it was Walter Norris who was shot, not his wife.
That's right. What do you mean, not his wife?
We'll get to that.
Oh, it was his wife did the shooting. 3 bullets ripped across the chest. She did a real thorough job.
Murder?
Self-defense, as far as I can make out.
Self-defense, eh? What's her story?
Let her tell you. But I may as well warn you, she hasn't been very coherent up to now. Pretty hysterical. The kind of reaction you'd expect.
I see. What's this over here?
Contents from the dead man's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The handkerchief and wallet were taken from the pants pocket. That envelope contained signed insurance premium checks. It was in the breast pocket of the jacket. And the keys were in the right jacket pocket. Nothing special about any of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, shall we go in?
Of course.
Who's in there with her?
A couple of neighbors. First one's on the scene, a Mrs. Bennett. She lives just down the hall. And a guy named Phil Ruloff. He was coming for a visit. Talks a lot.
That's right here.
Oh, there you are, Lieutenant. What do you say we break this thing up? You couldn't have a more obvious case of self-defense if you tried.
What do you say to sitting down in that chair and keeping still, Ruloff? Dr. Doyle here will determine just how obvious this case is.
Oh, Dr. Doyle, thank heaven you come. It's been awful. You get me out of here. I know you will.
There now, Mrs. Norris. Just take it easy. I'll do my best. Do you feel up to telling the lieutenant and me exactly what happened?
Of course she don't feel up to it. What kind of question is that? Poor girl's been through enough.
Rule
off. All you have to do is just look at her, that's all.
Mrs. Norris.
I think I'll be able to, Dr. Doyle.
Helen, all I gotta say, you're within your constitutional rights to remain...
Rule off, if you don't keep that mouth of yours closed until called on, I'll be within my constitutional rights to have Officer Burke close it for you.
Go right ahead, Mrs. Norris.
Well, as I told you in your office, Dr. Doyle, my husband Walter and I weren't getting along too well. What with his drinking and the fighting and his being jealous and all.
In your office?
Yes, Lieutenant. Mrs. Norris came to my office for advice several days ago, just as she says. She was afraid that her husband might try to kill her.
It was crazy wild, that guy.
Lieutenant?
Yes, Burke?
I checked with all the neighbors on at what she said. They told me the fighting that went on in this apartment the last few weeks was something terrible.
Terrible is right. The way that man treated this poor thing, you wouldn't treat a dog.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Bennett. Now, what happened after you saw Dr. Doyle, Mrs. Norris?
Well, let's see.
Just tell us what happened, Mrs. Norris.
Uh-huh. Well, you told me there was nothing you could do at the moment, Doctor, so I just went home to Walter. Things went all right for a couple of days. Just a few little spats like...
a few little spats. You should have seen the bruises that beast put on her pretty arm.
I told her once. I told her 100 times to divorce that lousy sadist.
You were right, Phil. I should have listened to you.
Yeah.
If only I'd listened.
Now, please try to go on, Mrs. Norris. What happened earlier tonight?
Tonight?
Yes.
Well, Walter came home drunk again. I thought we'd spend a quiet evening at home. You know, maybe get things back to the way they used to be. I even invited Phil, Mr. Ruloff here, to come over and maybe play some cards. But Walter wanted to go out.
Go on.
I asked him. I asked Walter not to go, and he started to yell at me, calling me awful names. I tried to calm him down, but he'd been drinking too much. All at once, he started choking me. "I'm putting an end to all this," he yelled at me. I broke away, and I
know this is difficult for you, Mrs. Norris.
I'm all right. It's just it was so horrible.
What happened then?
Then he grabbed up the fire poker.
This poker, Mrs. Norris?
That's the one. That heavy thing. And then he raised it high over his head with both hands like he was going to bring it down on my head.
Yes?
I lost control. I was scared half to death. I pulled out the gun he always kept in the drawer. Before I could bring down the poker, I...
You shot him?
Well, if I didn't, he would have killed me, sure. I shot him, yes. Then I shot him again. 2, 3, I don't know how many times. And Walter fell to the floor, dead.
I see. You shot him in self-defense.
What I've been saying to everyone right along.
Lieutenant, do you mind if I ask a few questions?
That's what we got you here for, Dr. Doyle.
Officer Burke.
Sir?
What was the position of the body when you found it?
Flat down on the floor, Doctor. His right arm clutched over his chest. And as I said, 3 bullets right through the jacket lodged in the chest.
The poker?
Right alongside him.
Was he wearing a vest?
No, sir, no vest, just a jacket.
Thank you, Burke. Lieutenant, how about the gun?
Empty barrel, Doctor. All six shots fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, as your Mr. Ruloff here pointed out, it would be hard to find a more obvious case of self-defense if you tried.
Well, Lieutenant, now that your crime doctor has backed up what I've been telling you right along, don't you think it'd be a nice idea if we, all of us, went home?
I won't keep you much longer, Ruloff. I just have two more questions to ask to complete my, as you put it, backing up. And Mrs. Norris, you said after the shots rang out, your husband dropped to the floor dead. Is that right?
That's right, Doctor.
You're quite certain he wasn't still alive?
Absolutely certain.
And did you by any chance touch your husband's body after he dropped to the floor?
No, Dr. Doyle, I couldn't.
Then you couldn't have placed anything at all into his pockets that hadn't been there prior to the shooting?
Of course not. Why would I do anything like that?
I think I know why, Mrs. Norris. And I'm sure I know that everything you've said here tonight has been one big 100% fabrication.
What?
You better be prepared to back up a crummy accusation like that, Doctor.
Oh, I'm prepared, Ruloff. You killed your husband, all right, Mrs. Norris, but not in self-defense. In planning your crime, you thought you had an airtight story to go with it, but you overlooked two little details that clearly pin the crime of deliberate murder directly on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in exactly 120 and a half seconds, Colin Doyle, the crime doctor, will be back to reveal the two little details overlooked by the suspect. Meantime, now back to the conclusion of Colin Doyle, crime doctor, and the case of the bad actor.
Now, you said, Dr. Doyle, that in telling her story, Mrs. Norris overlooked two little details that pin the crime of deliberate murder on her?
Yes, Lieutenant. It was such an inventive story that I almost hate to show it up for what it is. A whole series of unmitigated lies.
Dr. Doyle, how can you stand there and talk like that? I don't know what's gotten into you. You, above all, should know how hard I tried to avoid something like this.
Oh, I do, Mrs. Norris. I do know.
Well, then?
I know that your visit to me and the staged fight for the neighbors...
Staged fight?
...were all part of a very clever scheme dreamed up by you and your partner... No doubt, our very own Mr. Ruloff here. Well,
this is the most outrageous accusation I ever heard of, Doctor.
Take it easy, Ruloff. Keep it down.
It's much more than an accusation, Ruloff. The two of you thought you'd worked out a perfect plan to get rid of Walter and call it self-defense. But in trying to make no mistakes, you made two very vital ones that make Helen's story the big lie.
I only told the truth, Dr. Doyle.
No, Helen, you didn't. You told me you shot your husband because he was about to hit you over the head with a poker.
That's right, he was.
In fact, he was all poised to strike with the poker held high over his head in both his hands.
Well, what's wrong with that? You saw the poker on the floor there.
I saw the poker that you put there. But if what you said was the truth, I wouldn't have seen three bullet holes through the chest of his jacket.
Why not? I got off at least three shots before he could crown me.
Hardly, Helen. That's one of the details you overlooked. When a man wearing a jacket raises his hands over his head, the jacket hikes up along with them. If you shot him three times in that position, as you said, the bullet holes would have appeared much lower in the jacket, not chest high as they are.
What?
Now, wait just a minute, Dr. Doyle.
Yes?
Well, maybe, now that I think back on it, maybe his hands was lower than I thought. I mean, I was so scared, I just can't be sure.
Perhaps. We can be sure, however, of the other little detail you overlooked. You also said that you didn't place anything at all into your husband's pockets after you shot him.
Well, so what? I didn't.
You sure of that?
Absolutely. I told you. Gee, I don't know what all this fuss is about.
Tell you what it's about, Helen. It's about this envelope containing insurance premium checks. It was found in your husband's breast pocket by Officer Burke. Is that right, Burke?
Yes, sir, that's right.
So Walter was going out to mail some insurance checks. So what about it? Can I help it? He was doing his duty, trying to protect me.
Well, you see, Helen, your husband took three shots across the chest. Two of the bullets tearing directly through the breast pocket. Now, if, as you said, this envelope was in his pocket at that time, how do you account for its remarkable lack of bullet holes?
What?
Oh, my God.
You thought those premium checks lying around loose might suggest a possible motive for murder. So after you shot your husband, you stuffed the envelope back into his breast pocket. That was the vital detail you overlooked.
You liar! Hold
it, the body, and hold it!
Before either of you has anything more to say, I want to warn you that anything you say from now on can be used against you. I'm holding you both on suspicion of murder.
You've been listening to The Case of the Bad Actor. Tune in tomorrow for Counter Spy, CIA. And next week at the same time for another exciting deduction by Colin Doyle in The Case of the Bad Penny. Colin Doyle, Crime Doctor, is written and directed by Jack Anson Fink. Technical direction by William Taylor. Technical consultant, Detective Sergeant Kevin Hallinan of the New York City Police Department. Production by Robert Franklin and Cinema Sound Limited, in association with the Chicago Tribune, New York News Syndicate. Until next week, then, this is Bob Maxwell with a final word of caution from the Crime Doctor.
If you listen at the keyhole, you may hear news of yourself.
Good night.